our beautiful, battered, broken world. That is the title of our poem today, featured poem, and also, of course, the title of this episode of Poetry, Passion, and Pleasure Podcast with your host, Dale Byron. That's me. Let's get right into the poem. It starts with a quote at the top, a little inscription at the top of the poem. When we create stories, when we create stories about human nature based upon observing traumatized humans, we get a picture that is both predictable and wrong. One more time. When we create stories about human nature based upon observing traumatized humans, we get a picture that is both predictable and wrong. We'll talk a little bit more about this, but let's just dig right into the poem. That's the quote inscripted at the top of the poem. The poem goes like this. Look, look, fellow earthlings, so many wild animal friends have now gone away. And yes, we're out over our skis, traumatized, eating our own seed corn. The troubles, no longer far away, but here, as close as our next breath. Still, there's no reason to blame our broken hearts for looking away. Who could fault our desire for the rescuing heroes we long for, with their surefire ways, 10-point lands, and magical steps? Especially there, it's late, but not too late, promises of hope. But it is too late for such thin prophecies, self-fulfilled or otherwise. Too late for a pretended certainty. Too late for a pretended certainty to indulge our need to be right. Yes, it is too late, but that's when the real work begins. Yes, it is too late, but that is when the real work begins. Too late for the cavalry riding in on their great white steeds. Too late for the newest technology that will surely crumble under the tragic weight of a human and earth separation. And now we know head and heart must befriend again to end this long and destructive estrangement. For a coming together to heal the soul of us. For a coming together to heal the soul of us before our trauma destroys the all of us. So at last we can claim our sacred connection as we make these bold questions badass again, and curiosity cool, and our heads and hearts whole. Even now, as we make not knowing into a wiser step, and as we say the word enough and actually mean it, and as we make the beautiful grace of gratitude into our sacred living gift, our new way of loving, this, our most beautiful, battered, and broken world. Even now, as we make not knowing, into a wiser step, and as we say the word enough and actually mean it, and as we make the beautiful grace of gratitude into our sacred living gift, our new way of loving this, our most beautiful, battered, and broken world. So this is a poem I wrote late last year, as I recall, and it was in response, kind of sat there simmering, being pickled inside me, because I think it was a comment that friend and colleague Robert Gilman of the Context Institute made that had me write that little inscription at the top of the poem, meaning that if we study traumatized human beings and then make in other words, we try to make a portable a definition of what it means to be human, but if we've used traumatized human beings as our study sample, we're not going to come up with a very good example of human beings. And so what is true is that there's so much trauma in our world, in so many, coming at us in so many ways, politically, ecologically, socially, lots of joy as well, of course, lots of beauty as well, but there's lots of trauma there. And so if we make definitions of human beings based on observing humans in a traumatized or traumatizing situation, we will come up with definitions, and we will come up with definitions and conclusions that are not really indicative of humans nearly as much as indicative of humans in that particular situation. Because we are social animals, and we are so, our plasticity in terms of our social context and our relationships, there's so much plasticity that in difficult times, we can have very difficult human beings. Have you noticed? But I think it's very important, this point, because I was thinking that as soon as we declare humans as flawed at their very core, and I see this on social media and so many places where people will just, you know, say, well, how can you expect anything different? Because human beings are just flawed. We're terrible. We're this, that, and the other. So I said, as soon as we declare humans as flawed at their very core, we've given up our own human agency. And it gets especially treacherous if we believe we and our small tribe are the only ones not flawed. You know what I'm talking about? You know, often people who are, especially in the kind of the sort of the whole ecological area, and big-hearted people, incredibly talented people, but because we are so overwhelmed by the complexity, we're so overwhelmed by the uncertainty that we have to decide that we know what the problem is, that we figured it all out. I've said this on the podcast before. Anyone who says, you know, particularly with the meta crisis, political, social, ecological, multiple levels of ecological, from extinction to climate to ocean plastic, I mean, all forever chemicals, all these different things. And for us to say, well, we know what to do. We know exactly what to do. We just need the will to do it. Now, there is some truth in that, of course. But basically what it's saying is that we know exactly what to do. And I do not believe we know what to do. We have inclinations, and there are ways in which we get closer, I think, to what looks like truth with a small t, and gives us a sense of what we need to do, especially ecologically. But for us to declare that we know, that we're certain, for us to declare that human beings are flawed, and what can we expect? That to me is all part of being traumatized, and just it's being so uncomfortable with not knowing, being so uncomfortable with the complexity that's coming toward us, that we have to be certain, even if we say human beings are certainly terrible. We have to be, at least we can be certain about that. And again, I'm not putting ourselves down. Just like when I say that in the first stanza, look, fellow earthlings, so many wild animal friends have gone away. And that's true. 70% of wild mammals, especially of any size, but we can include insects and bees in this. Not quite as the percentage is not as high, but I think 70% of large mammals have gone away in my lifetime. Since 1970, I say, look, fellow earthlings, so many wild animal friends have now gone away. And yes, we are out over our skis. You know what that kind of metaphor is? You know, it's like being ahead of your headlights is another way to say it. And yes, we're out over our skis, traumatized, eating our own seed corn. The second line in the poem. And we are eating our own seed corn. That's what overshoot means. Overshooting the systems of planet Earth means we are actually undermining the very structure which keeps this planet vital. I go on in the poem to say, the troubles no longer far away, but here, as close as our own next breath. Still, there's no reason to blame our broken hearts for looking away. That's the point. I am not standing from some place of I know and I've got some pipeline to the truth and I'm going to tell everybody the way it is. No, just the opposite. I have a great empathy for myself when I force certainty in a situation because it's just so uncomfortable to be that uncertain in and around the stakes that are we see in front of us every day. I said, who could fault our desire for the rescuing heroes we long for? We want someone to come in and just fix it, right? With their surefire ways, 10-point plans, and magical steps. Especially there, it's late, but not too late, promises of hope. Now, I'm not saying that 10-point plans and things like that, that there's not some amazing wonderfulness to that. We do have to take steps. We have to, if we can't solve, we at least have to take steps to help mitigate, to start moving in the right direction. I'm not against that at all, but it's the idea that when we start getting very certain about this, take these three steps and everything's solved. That worries me. I said, but it is too late for thin prophecies, self-fulfilled or otherwise, too late for a pretended certainty. That's what it is, because it's so uncomfortable. We pretend to be certain, to indulge our need to be right, is what I said in the poem. You could also say to be secure. Yes, it is too late. Yes, it is too late, the poem says, but that's when the real work begins. Too late for the cavalry riding in on their great white steeds, too late for the newest technology that will surely crumble under the tragic weight of a human and earth separation. An amazing thinker, ecologist, teacher, Nora Bateson. There's so many things she does well. And met her in person not too long ago. And she's just, again, just delightful. But what I want to say is that I think she speaks in such eloquent ways about not just first order solutions. You know, a first order solution would be, you know, you have a rash on your skin and you put cream on it. Well, that's a first order solution. And yet, what is the thing in our body that was before that? Now, first order solution, if it's an emergency, it often is what we have to do. You know, if somebody's drowning, we throw them a life preserver. But the real challenge, as another amazing human being, Martin Luther King, says, is that the real challenge is to go upstream and see who's throwing people in. Of course, we want to give them life preservers as they come by drowning, but better to go upstream. Now, Nora Bateson, I think, would talk about going upstream and as a nth order you know, solution, where you're not just looking at the first order. You're not just looking at the particular thing which is right in front of your face. Whatever symptom is actually in front of you, that if you continually only resolve symptoms, that the bigger challenges get bigger and bigger and bigger. Bigger and bigger and bigger. So I think Nora Bateson speaks very eloquently, and a shout out to her for that. The point I really wanted to make is under the tragic weight of a human and earth separation. And I would say that in terms of an nth order response, that if we look at the idea that somehow or another philosophically, that we began to believe that human beings were totally separate from the natural world, even to say the natural world separates, but to say that we are totally separate from, I don't know if we persist in that attitudinal stance, if we persist in that belief that we are totally separate from the natural world, how in the world are we going to do anything that's effective? So that's what I'm referring to in the poem, under the tragic weight of a human and earth separation. As long as we continue to have that deep in our bones and we believe that that is true. And then the last part of the poem, and now we know head and heart must befriend again. That's a big part of my work, a big part of using poetry to help us. It's not that the intellect and the strategic mind are not incredibly important. They are, of course, but the heart is also important, and to have the head and the heart working together. So the head can tell us how and when to do something, but the heart must tell us, is it worth doing? Is it worth doing? Why do it? That's the domain of the heart. So to bring both of those together is very, very powerful. And now we know head and heart must befriend again to end this long and destructive estrangement, for a coming together to heal the soul of us before our trauma destroys the all of us. So at last we can claim our sacred connection as we make these bold questions badass again, and curiosity cool and our heads and hearts whole. Even now, as we make not knowing into a wiser step, we were just talking about that. And as we say the word enough, how much is enough? Enough, and actually mean it. And as we make the beautiful grace of gratitude into our sacred living gift, our new way of loving, this, our most beautiful, battered, and broken world. And all those things go together. We don't get to have part of that. We get a beautiful world and we get a battered world. We get a beautiful, lovely world and we get a broken world. Those things are all together, and they come together, especially now. So, as always, thank you for your listening ear. If you learned something or you felt something differently, then please make a comment, refer the podcast to someone else. And I so appreciate your listening ear. Until next time and next poems, please, please take good care of yourself. And as I always say, if you can, take care of somebody else too.